We thank you on this verse. We seek the blessings of the Lord. We seek the blessings of your Prabhupada, our spiritual master, all the acharyas, and all the devotees assembled here, so we do not sin into wrong or offensive laws of our instruction. That is exactly what the Prabhupada is saying. So we should pray very hard. Om Bhavya Nandira 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 Mataji is very important for devotees. Why? Because at this specific point, Shukadev Goswami is going to start replying to the questions that have been raised by Parikshit Maharaj about the different energies and the different creative aspects of creation. And after this verse, there will begin a series of very, very beautiful verses that can be very wonderfully and lovingly sung. And that Shukadev Goswami very, very wonderfully glorifies Krishna in all his different aspects. In fact, these some of the verses in the next few verses we should study very carefully. Some of the very important verses like Bhuyo Namasat Vrijane Chide Asitam, these verses are coming up. Then there is Yat Kirtanam, Yat Smaranam, Yat Vandanam. All these verses are very, very helpful for us to remember devotional service. So in fact, the speakers who are going to take the next few verses, we should be very, very careful to glorify Krishna's wonderful aspects the way Shukadev Goswami has put them. And they really, really can inspire us very much in devotional service. But now, this verse actually sets us in the proper mood to approach the next few verses in glorification of Krishna. You find that the verse is actually based on a very simple premise. Shukadev Goswami is about to reply. He could immediately have started replying. He could have given a straightforward answer and immediately he could have started. But he did not. What he did here was, the way in which he began before he replied is very significant for us to remember. because that will make the difference between a devotee who may be struggling in Krishna consciousness and a devotee who will become enthused in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes in Krishna consciousness, it is the small subtle things that we may miss. And that is the reason for that is because we fail to scrutinizingly study the scriptures. When we don't scrutinizingly study the scriptures, then what happens is that we miss the salient points of Bhagavatam. So here, this point is very important. Shukadeva Goswami, before he started replying, Prabhupada translates that he systematically remembered Krishna as Rishikesha, master of the senses. So this is very specific, and there's a reason why our acharyas do this. Because of the fact that Shukadeva Goswami systematically remembered Krishna, and he did so as a specific name and quality of Krishna, master of senses, indicates to us the mood in which we must approach Krishna when we are also trying to reply or speak about any topics related to Krishna. And the purport is where Prabhupada really explains to us what should be our mood when we continue in devotional service. Here, Shukadeva Goswami is addressing Krishna as Rishikesha, master of the senses, because he knew and he realized that actually Krishna is the master of all our senses. And that therefore, all our activities also are ultimately controlled by the master. If someone is the master and we are servant, if we don't accept our position as servant, we cannot continue working in the house of the master. Right? Either master will kick us out or we will resign. But if we accept our role as being subordinate to Krishna, then the relationship immediately prospers. Because then we know our role and Krishna will be there to protect us as master. So that is why at the starting point we are reminded that Krishna should be always addressed as Lord of the senses. Because frankly speaking, we are nothing really. This is the whole import of this verse. We are nothing. We must always remember that we will always be subordinate to the will of the Supreme. If we think that we can impose our will on Krishna, then our devotional service will suffer. When we expect Krishna to give us the things that we think we should get, we will suffer. When we expect devotional service to yield results, especially in material life, we will suffer. Why? Because we have missed the point that we are not the Lord of the senses. Krishna is the Lord of the senses. So this point we should remember, and this is the difference between great devotees and struggling devotees. Now we look at the purport. Prabhupada has explained this entire point of systematically remembering Krishna basically in one principle. And that principle is found towards the end of the purport. But it is the defining principle in this whole verse. And that is, Prabhupada says, no one is free to act freely and independently. This is the starting point of our devotional service. We must remember that no one is free to act freely or independently without the blessings and sanction of the Lord. If we really were independent, then we should be the supreme personalities of Godhead. But we are hardly supreme, we have no personality, and we are nowhere close to being Godhead. So how can we call ourselves supreme personality of Godhead? So this point we should remember. In fact, when we want to remember this point that Prabhupada is making, we should try and remember this very important verse in the 6th chapter of the 1st canto. The verse is 7. 167. I think it's 167. In that verse, Narada Muni was explaining to Vyas Bhagwan of his previous life, that he was actually born the son of a maidservant. And when he was born the son of a maidservant, at that time he had the great fortune of taking association of Mahatmas, the Bhaktivedantas, who stayed in his residence where his mother served them during the course of the Chaturmas. And during that time, as a little boy, Narada Muni also helped his mother to serve these great devotees. And the result was, these great devotees, being very merciful, they showered him with blessings and imbibed him with transcendental knowledge. So much so, that by the time they left, Narada Muni as a small boy was actually becoming a highly realized individual. So at that point of time, Narada Muni said that while he was there, the Bhaktivedantas had left, If he were to continue with his normal life, he would have continued to be the son of a maid servant. But as Krishna would plan, his mother tried very hard to maintain him. And this verse tells us that. The verse says, Sasva Tantra Na Kalpasi Yoga Shemam Mamechati. Yoga Kshemam, we know Yoga Kshemam from 922. Here it means that his mother was trying very hard to support him. Mother was trying very hard to offer and look after his maintenance. But Ishasya, this point is very important. Ishasya, he vashe loko. Yesha darumai yatha. Yesha darumai yatha. These two lines we must imbibe in our hearts. Because in those last two lines lie the key to understanding that we cannot act independent of Krishna. The whole verse translated is very nice. Narada Muni said that she, my mother, wanted to look after my maintenance properly. She wanted to. But because she was not independent, see the nice point, she was not independent, therefore she was not able to do anything for me. Such a straightforward point this boy said. Mother wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she could not do anything for me. And this is a fact. This is a fact. We very often want to try and take care of our loved ones. But, frankly speaking, only you know in your personal experience that you have very limited capacity to actually give them everything. Very often, there is such a thing as fate. There's such a thing as karma, there's such a thing as reactions, but all this come under the purview of the Lord finally. So, the mother wanted to take care of the son, but what happened to the mother in the end? She died of a snake bite. One night she went out into the garden, when she came back she was dead. Narada Muni could understand at that point of time that her death was not tragic, but it was the arrangement of the Lord. Because it meant that Narada Muni was to leave and be detached from this point. And from then on, he was free to concentrate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So mother was independent? No. She could not do anything to maintain him. This he accepted. Why? Because he says in the last line, this world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Full. Prabhupada puts that full. He doesn't say partial, doesn't say control, he says full. The whole world, not a speck of dust can move without the sanction of Krishna. We may think that we took MRTs, we drove our cars, we walked to this house today for the program. But frankly speaking, if Krishna did not sanction your actions, we would not be here today. We may be sleeping on a Sunday morning, which is what the majority of Singapore is doing right now. But why? This has happened because of the blessing of the Lord. If we miss this point, we may miss Bhagavatam the next time. This is very important for us. So, the world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of the puppet master. Everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. The puppet master is Krishna, and we are wooden dolls. Do we have any say in this world? You may ask. I'm sure this question will come, but I better address it now. Do we have any say in this world? Yes, we do. The choice is still given to us, whether we want to be with Krishna or we want to be with Krishna's external energy, Maya. If you want to be with Maya, then you must suffer the consequences of birth, death, old age and disease, and all the sufferings of the material world. But if you choose to be with Krishna, then when Krishna sees your choice in your heart, when he sees your sincerity in your heart, Krishna then sanctions your improvement in devotional service. Like a loving father who wants to give freedom to his son, but within perimeters. This is the same way Krishna works in this world. He gives us the choice, but at the same time, he lovingly tries to bring us to devotional service. And without him, because he is the source of everything, aham sarvasya prabho, right? Mattah sarvam pravartate. Because I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds, everything emanates from me. Those who know this, the wise who know this perfectly, engage in my devotional service and they worship me with all their hearts. All these actions are our free actions, but Finally, even to worship Krishna, as Shukadeva Goswami did, we must request permission from him to do so. Why? Because without his blessing, we cannot properly worship him. Like a true father who can guide us how to do something, if you want to learn from father, you must approach father humbly. If you approach father very arrogantly and say, "Dad, give me this, give me that," I think father won't be very happy with you. But if you approach him very humbly, then he becomes very pleased and he gives you everything. This is the mood between Krishna and the devotee. So please, if anything we must take back today, it must be that Krishna is puppet master and we are dolls. This is all you should remember. The result is that, frankly speaking, because we are puppet masters, then we should remember Prahlad Maharaj's prayer in 7.9.19 of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that prayer is also very, very important. Balasya neham sharanam pitarauna singha nartasya chagadam udanvati mujato nahuhu taptasya tat pativiriya dihanjasesas tavat vibhotanubhitam tvat upekshitanam. This is a very important verse. Because in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj, and we just finished watching Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev for Narsingadev's Chaturdasi, Prahlad Maharaj prayed very nicely to Narsingadev. And the gist of this verse is this. He says that, frankly speaking, Tvat Upekshitanam, without the mercy of the Lord, no living entity can live happily in this world. No living entity can. Everything is under the control of Krishna. And those who don't want to accept his mercy, they have to accept Maya. And he gives three very nice examples for us to understand how we are totally out of control and actually how Krishna is finally in control. The first thing he says is that a child who is sick or a child who is not well, how much our parents, you know, parents especially, you know the feeling when your child is not well. First of all, a child is very precious to you. And when a child is precious to you, when the child falls sick, when the child falls down, when the child is hurt, you want to try and protect the child from all this. Frankly speaking, you always feel, how nice it would be if I can protect my child from all difficulties, from all pain, from all suffering. Every parent is ready to sacrifice himself and herself for the welfare of the child. Yet, very often, how much it pains us as parents when we see our children going through suffering, going through illness, going through difficult times, and we find at that point of time we are helpless. How much can we protect them? We can't protect them. Krishna is in charge. Second example, nicely put by Bhagavatam, is that a great physician, the greatest physicians, can try all they can, all the doctors in the world you can get, but a man who is going to die cannot be saved by the best doctors in the world. We can try. Money can buy everything except life. It can buy everything. It cannot buy back your life. So this point also we must remember. At the allotted time that Krishna gives you to leave this world, you will leave. There is no extension of time. But if he wants to extend your lifespan, he can do so. Because he is the creator of the concept of death in this material world itself. So Krishna again is independent and fully in control. The last example in Bhagavatam chapter, this verse is very nice. Mujato Nahu. He says, what is the use of a boat in the ocean for a man who is drowning? Think about it. You have a boat in the ocean, man is in the ocean, he sees the boat, but he can't swim to the boat because he can't swim, therefore he's drowning. He needs help to get on the boat, but because he can't swim, having a boat in the ocean is useless. So, we may think that we may find so many material solutions to try and exert our material independence. We try. Very often we try and find material solutions to material problems. But we don't realize, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkha matadhyayam. He says that actually your material solutions become worse than the first material problem itself. Your material solutions bring you more misery than your material problems first. So this point we should remember, that every time we try to act independently in this world, we try to exercise our independence away from Krishna, without his mercy, we will have to bear the consequences. And it is very difficult. Birth is a difficult process. Death is equally difficult. Life in between birth and death is filled with old age and disease. Those who are sick, you know how difficult it is. In Singapore, you catch a flu, you never recover. You never recover. Somehow it just runs and runs and runs, and you think you've recovered, 2 days later you get your sore throat again. Whole life it is like that. And what about old age? Now we are young, we can walk up and down the stairs. One time I was walking with Guru Maharaj, and he was just taking three flights of steps. And he said, Devki, when you reach my age, he's 90 by the way, when you reach my age, these steps become like Himalayas. Like Himalayas they become. Because they seem unsurmountable, so difficult. So the time will come when our bones start to creak and ache, when simple staircase becomes difficult, very difficult. So in old age, birth, death and disease, we are in difficulty. But if we remember that we are not acting freely, that we seek the blessings of Krishna always in every endeavor we take, then this independence will be curtailed. And when it is curtailed, then we begin to develop some taste for devotional service. Until we curtail this independent streak in us, we will always be in difficulty and anxiety. This is the stringent law of the material nature. So 7.9.19 tells us that point. Then in 13.23 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna says that he is Upadrishta Anumantaha. That he is the ultimate sanctioner and he is the ultimate permitter. You can't do anything without Krishna's sanction. You can't. Then you may ask another question. And this question is, you mean to tell me the robber who is going to rob the bank also needs the sanction of the Lord? What kind of Lord is this? Why does he sanction that? Please remember, there is a difference between sanction and blessing. There is a difference between sanction and blessing. The best possible example I can think of is this. Supposing I and Madan Mohan Prabhu are going to cross the causeway to go to Johor Bahru. I am Maslamat. I am going to cross over because I want to do some terrorist activities. Madan Mohan Prabhu is going to cross over because he wants to do Haridam. Both of us have to go through immigration authority in Malaysia and Singapore. Now immigration authority may not know me because I am Maslamat, I am in disguise. I happen to get through. On both our passport, the immigration authorities look, okay, name, everything is there, passport looks alright. What do? They sanction. They give you your chops. They are not there to ask you, are you going to go here to commit some crime? Of course you won't tell them that, isn't it? So, before you enter Malaysia, you need sanction. Sanction comes in the form of passport chopping. Once you enter Malaysia, he does nice Harinam. And in Malaysia, Harinam is thoroughly legal, so everyone is very happy with it. Harinam is a terrorist activity in Singapore, by the way. But I am Maslamat, I have a crossover, and now I am doing all kinds of nefarious activities. What happens to me then? The authorities will catch me. At that point, can I stand up and say, wait a minute, you allowed me into your country, man. Am I not free to do what I want? That's a silly argument, isn't it? Because the police will tell you, it's implicit that if you enter the country, you still follow the laws of the country. That is the difference between sanction and blessing. You get the point? I'm not going to explain further. But at this point, if you just contemplate on it, you realize there's a subtle but important difference. So even a blade of grass requires the sanction of the Lord. But if you break the laws that the Lord has created after He has given you sanction, you will have to pay for the consequences. That is why Prabhupada states in the purport, please remember this point, no one is free to act freely and independently. So that's 13.23. So if we have to do that, then we must remember two things. Prabhupada writes in the purport, 15.15, he says that Krishna has stated in Bhagavad Gita very clearly that I am in the heart of all my devotees and all living entities. And from me, remembrance, forgetfulness and memory, knowledge, all this is actually coming from Krishna. So the next time, the practical application of this Prabhu's Mataji is simply this. How many of you are studying? The next time anyone is studying, I saw one hand going up. Okay, The next time anyone is studying, we may think, oh, I can't remember. Just remember 15.15. Remember 15.15 and you become pacified. Just remember that you are not the one trying to memorize. Remember that knowledge and remembrance is coming from Krishna. If you forget to seek the blessings of Krishna, to remember something, you will not achieve it. It is very difficult. We always think that we are the ones remembering. Sometimes devotees say, Prabhu, very hard to remember verses from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. I try and try and try, but I'm Singaporean, you know, I'm not used to Sanskrit, you know, I know Malay, Chinese and everything else. But actually, frankly speaking, we are starting off on the wrong premise. We think we are trying to memorize the verse. And therefore, then we are stuck. Because we are under the four defects of the conditioned souls. We have imperfect senses. How can imperfect senses remember sublime, transcendental, pure verses? It's not possible. The only possibility of us remembering verses is if we follow the footsteps of Shukadev Goswami. If we pray before we start studying, pray for the blessings of Krishna, pray that we always want to remain as His instrument, then He will give us the remembrance to remember the verses, and He will give us the knowledge how to apply the verses in our daily lives. That starting point, if we miss, we go off on a tangent. You know, like when you calculate latitude and longitude, you just calculate 1.5 degrees apart and you keep drawing and charting your course, you'll end up about 100,000 miles away from where you started. And that's how devotional service is. The starting point is important. You miss the starting point, we miss the starting point, and we will miss devotional service by hundreds of miles. And the starting point is no one is free to act freely or independently. This is very important. And if we think that we have any ability in us, then chapter 7, text 8 of Bhagavad Gita also destroys whatever thinking we have. Because there itself Krishna says, Paurusham Rishu. I am ability in man. Right? Shabda ke Paurusham Rishu. He says in that verse, I am ability in man. So whatever ability you all have, whatever abilities we have, someone may sing nicely, someone may give nice class, someone may cook very nicely, the moment we think, I, then we have forgotten that it is Krishna who has given you that ability. Then what happens? You may do everything very nicely, but in your heart you are still not peaceful. You are not peaceful. And you do not become a transparent via medium of Bhagavatam the way Shukadev Goswami became. So we have to be very careful. Frankly speaking, the whole of the scripture is stacked against proving our independence. The whole of the scriptures. So now that we are convinced that we have to act not independent, but always be dependent on Krishna, so the next point in the purport is, if we accept that, then what becomes our role? This is what Prabhupada is arriving at. What should we do? This is what Shukadev Goswami is teaching us. And the verse tells us very nicely, as devotees, when we are speaking or describing the transcendental activities of the Lord, in other words, when we are trying to glorify Krishna, when we are performing devotional service, we should not think that we can do so with our ability. You see, Prabhupada is so kind. The way in which we approach Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is very nicely given to us by Prabhupada. It is supposed to inculcate in us this mood of Shukadev Goswami, that actually without Krishna's sanction, we cannot properly glorify Him. And how do we do this? We start by singing Jai Radha Madhava. By singing Jai Radha Madhava, we are invoking the blessings of the Lord in His most wonderful form in Vrindavan. Then we chant the verse. And after chanting the verse, before we can speak on the verse, we have all our prayers. These important prayers, these obeisances, this Mangalacharan, these important prayers form the basis of asking for blessings from the entire parampara of authorized acharyas, so that we may say something which is not offensive and which is correct in the principles of devotional service. When we take classes, we have to be very careful not to make that part of it into a big ritual. Otherwise, the tendency, oh my God, that's it. Why? Because we have to do it. Let's finish it off. Sometimes we do, you know, sometimes we just do it, but we don't realize that we are doing this because we cannot speak independent of Krishna. But if we do it lovingly and with gravity and with viraha, sobriety, if we do it that way, understanding our true position, then Krishna guarantees in the pages of Bhagavatam that then Krishna will give us the proper facilities to glorify Him. He will. That is our faith in Him. But we have to do this first. So that is why only when Rishikesha, Only when Rishikesha, who is Krishna, the Lord of the senses, when He sanctions and when He induces us to speak, then only it is possible. Our senses are not ours. We think our eyes, our nose, everything, we are controlling them. But frankly speaking, can you even control your blinking of your eyes? You can't. Scientists call it involuntary. Right? It is not a voluntary endeavor, isn't it? It's involuntary. We say it is forced by Krishna. Because you have to blink. Your body is made that way. Can anyone control their heartbeat at this moment? Nobody can. Can you control your blood pressure? Your sugar level? You can't. You can't. If it is time to go, you go. Can anyone control my sore throat? I can't control my own sore throat. I tried so many remedies the whole night through. Nothing has worked. Krishna doesn't want. He doesn't want. When you have tried everything and everything fails, then please accept it that you have passed. Why? Because everything that you did of your own ability. Now become humble. As Balakrishna Prabhu pointed out, humiliation is a good way to become humble. And they are very close in words. Humiliate and humility. Very close, isn't it? Just one piece of words different. When we are forced to bow down by Krishna, because our own endeavors cannot yield any result, then we must remember that we are actually dolls in the hands of the puppet master. Shukadeva Goswami did not need to do that, because he was fixed in devotional service. You remember Arjuna? In the first canto, 7th chapter, Arjuna is the most powerful warrior the world has ever seen. He was chasing with Krishna this Ashwatthama, who had just killed the 5 sons of Draupadi Mata. And as he chased him, Ashwatthama in desperation shot the Brahmastra, powerful nuclear weapon. And in those days you didn't need buttons to shoot Brahmastras, nuclear weapons. Just by mantras, nuclear weapons could be released. So as the Brahmastra was coming towards Arjuna, Arjuna could easily, on his ability, he could have counteracted. He could have. But what did he do? He stopped everything. He bowed to Krishna and he started saying, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhakta Nama Bhayankaraha, Tvamme Kandaya Mananam, Apavargosi Samsritehe. This is the mood of a devotee. This is the mood of Shukadeva Goswami. Then he says, Krishna, you are the mighty arm. You are the only one who can protect the devotees. It is you who has all strength. Kindly, kindly deliver me from the clutches of Apavargo Asamshitahe, from the clutches of this material existence. And then after getting blessings from Krishna, then Arjuna took his Brahmastra and then he shot. And when he did that, he neutralized the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama and he captured Ashwatthama. This is the sign of a pure devotee. That even though he knows he has so much ability, he is equally cognizant of the fact that all his ability is just borrowed. It's borrowed. Guru Maharaj used the word, the phrase, borrowed plumes. You know, sometimes we have very nice, like peacock, you know, he likes to show his beautiful feathers and everything. We also like to show off in this world, you know. Sometimes we show off in a subtle way. We drop some names, oh, I know this person, that person, this person, that person. I'm very well connected. Sometimes, you know, we try and do something to impress people. We do all kinds of things because we really think that we are independent. But a devotee who really follows the steps of Shukadeva Goswami and Arjuna, he knows before he starts any endeavor that he is beginning the endeavor for the satisfaction of the Lord. And the endeavor cannot continue without Krishna's blessings. And the devotee is not worried whether after the blessing the endeavor is successful or not. That is not also the devotee's business. He is not worried. Arjuna did not shoot the Brahmastra with the idea that he is going to win. He shot the Brahmastra after taking blessings of the Lord and then he left it at the hands of the Lord to decide what would be the outcome. This is exactly what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita 11:33. We have already done 11:33, right? I think I don't know which devotee took, but it was a beautiful verse. I think I was not here. In 11:33, the definition of working for Krishna and in the right mood is given. Because there, immediately Arjuna has already been told by Krishna, stand up, Utishtha. You stand up and get up. Fight and regain back your glorious kingdom. But remember one thing. Mayai vaite nihata purvam eva. Nimitta mata bhavya savya sachi. This is very important. He says, Krishna, Arjuna, you remember one thing. You work hard and get back this kingdom. It is your right. But you remember one thing, don't worry. Whoever needs to be killed on that battlefield, I have killed. I have reserved them. I know who they are. And I will kill them. So then Arjuna may have thought, if you are going to kill, then why am I sitting in the chariot? You just go and kill. But then he says, you do one thing for me. You just become Nimitta Mata, Bhavya, Savya Sachi. You become my instrument. Whatever that is my will, you execute it. That is the key of how we approach devotional service. Whenever we start any activity to glorify Krishna, whether we are speaking, whether we are book distributing, whether we are preparing prasadam, whether we are performing deity worship, whether we are preparing for a program, whether we are going to start chanting, whether we are going to start singing, whether we are going to start our work, we must begin our activities for His satisfaction. We can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then we can say a silent prayer to Krishna Krishna. I am going to try doing execution something, maybe my prescribed duties. You please always keep me under your shelter, O Lord. And please give me the blessings to properly glorify you and to properly please you and the pure devotees. This is the mood of a devotee. We may not be like Shukadeva Goswami, who could properly, directly glorify Krishna. But we can take the shelter of the great devotees of the Lord, like Shukadeva Goswami, and glorify the devotees in Krishna, and seek their blessings before we start an endeavor. And after we start the endeavor, as Arjuna fought valiantly in the war, he fought with satisfaction and peace in his heart. Before that he was disturbed. But the moment he aligned himself to the will of the Lord, then he ceased worrying about being independent. Then he could properly glorify Krishna in his actions. So this point is very important. And what is significant about 1133 is that Arjuna was addressed by Krishna as Savyasachi. Savyasachi simply means one who is very expert at releasing arrows. You see the irony of it. Krishna is calling, Arjuna, you who are expert in releasing arrows, please know one thing, you haven't killed anyone today. One moment you're telling me I'm very expert, next moment you're telling me you're nothing. This is what Krishna is trying to tell us. I have given you a quality, now use it for me. If you use it well, in all humility and honesty, then whatever devotional service that is due to you will come to you through the mercy of the Lord. This is guarantee of Krishna. Another person who is very, very wonderfully instructive to understand this point is the creator of this universe, material universe, Lord Brahma himself. In his prayers for creative energy in the 3rd canto, 9th chapter, Brahmaji sends so many prayers before he started creating. He didn't just wake up at the lotus in the lotus stem and decided, okay, fine, time to do my job, let me just start doing everything. No. He sat down, he looked around. When he was born, Brahma looked around and he realized that all was darkness and he could see no one and nothing. He looked at the origin, the source of where he was coming from, and he could only see a lotus stem which seemed to have no beginning. So what did he do? From within his heart, he began to sit down and meditate on Krishna. As he meditated on the supreme cause of all causes, he began to hear this wonderful sound of tapa, tapa, tapa. Tapa means tapasya, austerity. So Brahma situated himself in the austerity of remembering and praying for the blessings of the Lord. And he sat like that for 1,000 years. Imagine, we can't sit 5 minutes alone or still, isn't it? After a while we feel, when is he going to end his Bhagavatam class? You know, prasadam is available, everything is there. Why can't we have programs where we just can't have prasadam Hari Bol? Sometimes when we have festivals, you know, some devotees call us and say, Prabhuji, you know, why so many different parts of the program? Have a feast, have kirtan, Hari Bol, finish. But we tell them that until and unless we realize why we are doing this festival, the whole festival becomes a big ritual. True, we may be purified by prasadam, no doubt. But then, how are we going to advance in devotional service? So this point is very important. Brahmaji had the patience and the heart to understand that, like Shukadeva Goswami, without mercy of Krishna, nothing can work. So when he finished his prayers, Bhagavatam tells us, Brahmaji became silent. he was tired, because when you read the prayers, they're very long prayers, very, very long prayers, and full of nice meters and everything. So when he ended, he paused, and when he paused, he stopped, and when he stopped, he became a bit morose, just like us. You know, because after so many prayers, so much of doing devotional service, we may think, hey, why isn't Krishna replying? And we become morose. At that point of time, Krishna then replied to Brahmaji. And he said, Ma, don't. Ma Veda Garbhagastandri. He says, oh Brahma, oh depth of Vedic wisdom. Again, he's doing the Sabyasachin thing, you know. He's praising Brahma. Brahma, you are the depth of Vedic wisdom. Right? Then he says, be neither morose nor depressed. How kind Krishna is. Imagine Krishna coming and saying, don't be depressed. Don't be morose. Isn't that what we all want in this world? Someone to come and pat us a bit on the back and say, hey, don't feel so bad. Why? Nothing. Don't worry. This is what Krishna was doing. He said, why? Why don't feel morose? Why don't feel bad? Because whatever you are asking of me has already been granted before. This is the beauty. Mayai vaite nihata purvameva. Whatever you are asking, whatever facilities you want so that you can create based on my instruction, I've already given before. Because in your previous existence as Brahma, you have also created, as I have given you blessings. And whatever now that you are creating, actually I'm creating. But I'm just creating through your agency. This is the mood that Brahma had. What a nice mood he had. And because he had that, Krishna told him, don't be morose, don't be down. And in that purport, it's, by the way, the verse is 3929, I think. In the purport, please, if you can memorize anything in life, just remember this purport. Because this purport is so nice. I think it's worth reading. In 329, just hear the purport. Any person authorized by either the Lord or his bona fide messenger, our spiritual masters and our devotees, that means any task that you take up with the permission of Krishna and the permission of devotees, that means don't do anything whimsically, Prabhu Smartajis. Never do anything whimsically. Always seek blessings from your superiors. Always seek permission from Krishna. Anyone who is authorized by either Lord or bona fide representative is already blessed. This is what Prabhupada is saying. We are all already blessed. Why? Because the as is the work entrusted to him. Even the work that is given to us is already blessed. So if supposing you have a service in temple, right? You come early to clean, you come and set up the book table, you do some service, you clean up. Please do not be morose. Remember, that service has already been blessed by Krishna. And you are also blessed by Krishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, of course, this is the mood we must have. The person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability. We must be aware of our incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord. That's it. That's exactly what Shri Guru Goswami did. Systematic remembrance of Krishna. Look for the mercy of Krishna. And when he does that, for the successful execution of his duty, one should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme. See how nice this is. He is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. And Arjuna was the example of that. Brahmaji was another example of that. So Prabhu's Mataji is being encouraged in whatever service you are doing. And if you don't have a service, now is the time to take up a service. Ask Krishna, take up a service at home, take up a service in the temple. Service, unlimited service there is. You feel that, oh Prabhu, temple, everybody has taken service already. Fine, we'll create some service. There's always chance to create service. Ask Krishna for permission, find a way to expand the congregational preaching, create more services. Government creates jobs, devotees create service. And as we create service and seek the blessings of Krishna, Krishna will bless us to do nice service. Then Krishna reminded Brahmaji of one thing. He's already told him, all your ability is coming from me. Your creative aspect also came from me. Now don't be morose because I am giving you blessings. But now he tells him very importantly in 3938, 10 verses after that, he says this point. He says that please remember, O Brahma, that the prayers, all the prayers that you have chanted, praising my glories, whatever prayers you have chanted, all the prayers of Brahma before this, all the penances that you have undertaken for 1,000 years, all the austerity that Brahmaji had taken, and your firm faith in me, all these three, please know one thing, they are all due to my causeless mercy. This is a shocker of a verse. Why? Because here Brahmaji is saying, your sadhana, your tapasya, whatever you have done, your prayers, everything is actually also my mercy. You're not the one getting up to chant 16 rounds. I am allowing you to wake up based on your sincerity. You're not the one remembering the verses. I am allowing you to remember the verses. You're not the one having firm faith in me. I have induced firm faith in you. And what is your qualification then? That you just be an instrument to what I want you to do. That's all. Can you imagine how wonderful this is? That is why in 1.5.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says this point. Tato anyata kinchana vadyat vivekshataha prita visheshtat krita rupa namabihi na karichit kvapicha dushita matihi labetavata nau ivas, no, something there, nau ivas padam. 1.5.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni is saying this point. Anything, right, that you use, or anything that describes the Supreme Lord, anything that is describing it, but which is separate from the vision of the Lord, anything you describe which is separate from the vision of the Lord, that means whatever the Lord has and what you want is different. Whatever the Lord wants and what you want, the moment they are separate, prithak, drishash, the moment you see it separately from Krishna, then whatever that you are doing will simply react with different names, forms and activities to agitate your mind. And this mind will be so much agitated, it will become dushika matihi, like an oscillating pendulum, your mind becomes disturbed. And this is aptly described in the verse. This, your mind becomes disturbed just like a boat which is not anchored, right, to the land, is ultimately and definitely going to be agitated by the waves of the ocean. So if you put all this together, Prabhus and Masters, then the purport and the verse is telling us one very important thing. By Shukadeva Goswami's example, they are saying to us that actually, if we really want to stop being anxious in this world, then we must align ourselves with the Lord's instructions and the devotee's instructions. We must be prepared to accept whatever plan Krishna has for us. And we must always never be puffed up with whatever ability Krishna has given us. Because the truth of the matter is that if you want to do specifically any devotional service for Krishna, then the right mood in advancement of devotional service is to always seek the blessings of the Lord. Because we don't speak Bhagavatam actually. The speaker is only a representative of Vyasadeva when he sits on the Vyasasana. But actually, whatever we speak even, we must have the firm faith that actually it is Krishna who has given us the ability to speak. It is Krishna who gives us even an inducement, a push, to be able to glorify Krishna. On our own, we are unable to. We are unable to. Dhruva Maharaj had so much tapas. He performed so much austerity. At the end, he was living only on air. Can you imagine a 5-year-old boy living on air? 5-year-old children have huge appetites. They can keep eating. But Dhruva Maharaj controlled all that to take darshan of Krishna. And when he did that, he could not glorify Krishna when he saw Krishna. He could not. He had no ability left. He was completely astounded and no ability was there. But the moment Krishna touched him with his conch shell on his shoulder, the moment he was touched, Brahma Sparshanam, that is what Bhagavatam tells us. The moment you are touched by anything related to the Lord, then what happened to Dhruva Maharaj? Immediately he became alive. Yonta pravishta mama vacha mima prasuttam sanjeevayati sakila sakti dara swadhamna. These two lines are important. that, oh Krishna, the moment you touched me, I became alive. Satyadara. Right? He became alive. Sanjeev, you have revived me. Before that, I was dead. I was completely dead. By the way, Satyadara Prabhu's name is coming from this verse only. When Guru Maharaj gave him the name, he said this is one of the few verses and one of the few occasions when the name of the devotee before his initiation and his name after initiation is in the same line in a verse in Bhagavatam. Sanjeevayati, his name is Sanjeevan, right? And Satyadara, they are all in the same line. And they mean the same thing, that we can only get Shakti from Krishna. So we must always hanker for the touch of that concha. And that touch of Krishna comes in the association of devotees. It comes in the proper association with devotees, not the social interaction of devotees. Social intercourse will cause dissension, Prabhus and Matajis. You want to try an experiment? After class, you just talk about anything and everything except Krishna. And just see your mind, the state of the mind. It will become a social event. When we come on Saturdays, please don't think Lakshmanan Temple is a place to look for Matajis to get married. Please don't think Lakshmanan Temple is a place for me to show off my latest saris or my latest dhotis and kurtas. No. I remember one devotee came to the temple, one boy, I met him one time, 4 or 5 years ago, and asked him, Prabhu, nice, what is it about the temple that really attracts you? He said, Matajis. I said, really? I admire your honesty. He said, yeah. He said, because I'm actually, you know, my parents want me to get married, so I thought that the best place to find a nice wife, Vedic wife, could be in the temple. Because any lady who's coming to the temple must be Krishna conscious. I asked him, does it occur to you that maybe the lady is also coming to find someone like you? He said, yeah, that may be so. And true enough, he found a Mataji in the temple, got married to her, and we never saw them again. We never saw them again. It's been what, 6 years? 6 years. And the last I heard from him was last year. And they were divorced. They were divorced. Why? Because when we come together, we think, oh, nice, very nice. But we don't realize the source of our happiness was because Krishna was in the center. That's why I and you can tolerate each other. The moment Krishna is out of the equation, we can't tolerate each other. It is very difficult in this material world. Very difficult. So when we come to Krishna, Krishna will give you what you want. You want wife, he'll give you wife. You want husband, he'll give you husband. You want children, take 10 children. Doesn't matter. But if you're not aligned to what I want, what Krishna wants, Krishna says, then you'll be just like that boat, which is not anchored to land. Whole life you'll be agitated. Do we want that? Or do we want the peace that Krishna consciousness brings? If we want that peace, then Bhagavatam tells us, become subordinate to the will of the Lord. Please know that the Lord's plan you must accept. Please know that before starting anything, we must start in the spirit of seeking the blessings of the Lord, like Brahmaji. And we must know every morning when we wake up for Manga Arati, we are not the ones waking up. Krishna is waking us up. In 3rd canto, I think it's 25th or 26th chapter, Kapila Dev says, when one goes to sleep, the soul induces one to sleep. You sleep on your own accord, you know? But to wake up the body, only the super soul can wake up the body. This is a fact. If Paramatma doesn't want to wake you up, either you will sleep or you will sleep forever. That means you are dead. Until Krishna allows you to wake up, you can't wake up. So the next time you wake up in the morning and see the deities and say, Utishtha, please wake up. Please remember to thank them for waking you up so that you can wake them up. That is the proper mood of a devotee. We are not waking anyone up. We are being woken up by Krishna. If we follow this mood in Kirtan, if we follow this mood in chanting, if we follow this mood in Mangala Arati, if we follow this mood in relation to devotees, then we will follow the footsteps of Shukadeva Goswami, who after this verse could wonderfully glorify Krishna in most choicest and beautifully composed prayers. The last line in the conclusion, the last line of this purport is very nice. The last line of this purport, Prabhupada says, no one is free to act freely and independently, and as such, one should always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak. And by the blessings of the Lord, everything done by a devotee is beyond the principles of the four defects typical of the conditioned soul. What are the four defects, Prabhus and Matajis? Sorry? We all have imperfect senses. You turn off the light in darkness, you can't even see your own hand. Right? I take off my glasses, I can't see Prabhuji's face. That's how high my degree is. You know, I'll just fall into a drain the moment the glasses come out. Imperfect senses. You can smell, but your smell also is not good. In fact, you compare your senses to animals, we lose hands down. Hands down, they are better than us. Still, how much we rely on our senses to disprove Bhagavatam, to disprove devotional service. How much we rely on this brain power to logically say Krishna does not exist. Isn't it? And yet they are all imperfect. What's the second defect, Prabhupada? Committing mistakes. Is there anyone in this room that has not committed a mistake in life? I would really like to see you. Nobody has not committed mistakes. It is our nature in material world to commit mistakes. It is surprising, Guru Maharaj says, if we don't commit mistakes. We don't believe if we don't commit mistakes. Yet, when someone commits mistake, Prabhu, very bad. And yet we forget that this is part of our nature of being defective in this world. What's the third condition? In illusion. Constantly in illusion. What is this illusion? Illusion, Bhagavatam defines, is very simple. It is matter not being distinguished from spirit. This is the point. We must remember this. Dharma projita kaitava atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedam vasava atra vastu sivatam tapatrayan unmulam. The Supreme Absolute Truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. And if we discriminate between what is related to Krishna and what is not, riteritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatani tadvidvan atmano maya yatha vaso yatha samaha. Anything which appears of value but has no relation to Krishna has no value. This is how we must live. And we cannot be sucked by the illusion. We must rise above this. And what's the last one? Cheating propensity, which is the chief of all the conditioned defects, isn't it? Cheating. Every man and woman, if I can make 1 rupee out of you, I will cheat you. I will do it. Whether I'm devotee or not, doesn't matter. If I can make something out of you, the tendency is I will do it. If I can cheat Krishna and put the alarm at 5:30 and just tell him, no, I woke up at 4:30 and then went to sleep, I'll do it. You know? I was telling you in Rajput, we had this thing where we are trying to wake up each other. And then one devotee kept telling us, you know, few devotees kept telling us, this devotee, every time at 4 o'clock in the morning, his phone is spoiled. After 8 o'clock, his mobile phone is working. And every time he gives the same excuse, no, Prabhu, sorry, my phone was spoiled. After a while, Maharaj said, wow, who are you cheating, man? Who are you cheating? So this is how we cheat Krishna also. We want to cheat Krishna. We want to show him something that we are not. We want to display to the world and to the devotees that we are actually so and so. We are this great Mahatma, this great Mahajan, you know, and we are very, you have to respect me, and I'm all like this. But it's all cheating. It's all cheating. So, Prabhupada writes here very nicely that we must get the blessings of the Lord to come out of these four defects. How to come out of these four defects? The best way to come out of these four defects is only in one, in just in two words, we can add to all our sentences. Now supposing I'm going to go to Nasik. I'm going now on Monday. So, I'm going to tell that I'm going to go to Nasik. Now actually, frankly speaking, I have all four defects in this sentence. Why? One, I don't even know if I can get on the plane alive. I'm cheating already. Second, I'm in illusion if I think that I can actually get there without sanction of Krishna. So I'm in illusion. Third, I'm actually committing a big mistake. By what? By actually thinking that I will reach there without Krishna. And fourth, in my defective vision, I have failed completely to understand that only Krishna can bring me to Nasik and not me. All four defects are in this sentence. Now supposing I say, Prabhuji, Krishna willing, I'll be in Nasik tomorrow. All four defects go. Because if Krishna wants, then I will be in Nasik. If Krishna wants, I will not be in illusion thinking that without Krishna I can be there. If Krishna desires and it is in His plan, then only I can understand that I will somehow or another be able to go there. So illusion, defective senses, committing of mistakes, cheating, all of this will be put aside if the devotee can just put this sentence, Krishna willing. Because until we reach any place, until we do anything, we must remember only if Krishna wills, we can do it. So if you really want to come out of the defect of these conditioned living entities that we all are, then always remember, this is what the Muslims say, right? Inshallah. They always say this. It may sound ritualistic, but there is meaning to what they say. If we take it up and cherish that point, and we translate it, translating it means Krishna only. Then we will find that we become peaceful in whatever endeavor we do. Otherwise, we will always be in difficulty. Jai Dhritarashtra Bhagavatam ki. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Shri Gurudev ki. The Thai Guru ki. Are there any questions, any comments? Yes, the Thai Guru.
Thank you very much for the conversation.
Thank you for hearing and tolerating.
I have a question. I was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class that everything has happened by Krishna's will.
Yes, Prabhu.
If Krishna wants, it's going to happen. If Krishna doesn't want, it's not going to happen.
Yes.
Then, give examples, I think, Gujar. I was like, if you can explain briefly about where does a person's own endeavor stand? If it's like everything is in Krishna's hand, everything is Krishna going to do,
yes,
then what is the role of our own endeavor?
Very nice. Our endeavor will actually determine how much Krishna wants to give us. Yevata mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajami aham. 4th chapter, 11th verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Our endeavor is the litmus test of our faith in Krishna. To the extent that we are grihatascha swachesita, to the extent that we endeavor to try and please Krishna, to that extent, Krishna always gives us blessings to continue in whatever activity that we have to do. Krishna gives every living entity the ability to endeavor. Everyone has that capacity. But Bhagavad Gita tells us every endeavor is covered by fault in this world because of the conditional defects. But if our endeavor is ductile towards Krishna and His service, if we sacrifice our life, our time, whatever that we think is precious to us for Krishna, Krishna sees that endeavor, and then whatever desire we have to serve Krishna, Krishna awards all facilities. How He awards all facilities may be a bit different from what we think of how He should award facilities. We may think, for example, the moment I come to devotional service, the path of bhakti becomes wide open. Day 1, I enter devotional service. Day 7, I'm crying ecstatic tears. By day 9, I become Paramahamsa. We may think this way. Why? Because Krishna wants to open the doors of bhakti for me. But after getting initiation, for example, it is my experience, after initiation, my devotional service went completely haywire because of so many material reverses in my life. And I kept thinking, why this must happen after I take shelter? Better I don't take shelter maybe. You know? But then I learned that these reverses in life actually make us depend more and more intensely on Krishna. So Krishna's way of giving us something is very different from what we expect from our endeavor. That expectation kills our devotional service. If we endeavor without expectation and leave with Krishna, you know best. The problem with us is we really think we know better than Krishna. Somewhere deep in our heart, right, we think we know better than Krishna. That's why we're here. The problem is we are here separate from Krishna because we think we know better than Krishna. But the moment we put that aside through Bhagavatam, through devotional service, through constant practice and through nice sadhu sangha prabhu, then whatever endeavor we have will be very nicely aligned with Krishna. Then Krishna will make sure that whatever we need to advance in devotional service, we will get. So endeavor has a full role in devotional life, in our life. But it is always subordinate to the will of the Lord. Is that okay for you? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
So when I do any plans,
try to write them down. I try to start Krishna again. And then
in
that order, I'm going to
raise
Krishna's will,
and it should happen. Very nice. But, sir, but I suspect there's a but in the question.
Most of the time it doesn't seem.
Most of the time it doesn't happen. Huh?
I think that although I see blessing of Krishna, also makes it.
Very good.
So is there any way that.
Nice.
I can.
You can do this, Prabhu. On your page, when you write Krishna willing, you write all the plans you have. Right? And as each of the plans fail, you write in bracket, Krishna did not give me. Krishna did not give me. Krishna did not give me. And become pacified. There's no other way. There's no other way. This is the only way. This is your point is nice, because we say Krishna willing, but actually what we want is I willing. I want this, but you know, just to get out of these defects, we have to put Krishna willing. So put that, Krishna did not willing, and then accept it. You can have another bracket, Krishna did not will, I must accept. So this is how Krishna molds us. You will never get what you plan for in this material life. If you get it, you are in difficulty. Because that means, you know, you want to enjoy. But if you don't get what you want through your senses, then your senses are dedicated to Rishi Krishna. This is our personal experience. Krishna wants you to stop asking for things that you like and to start doing things you hate. The things you hate are normally very favorable for devotional service. But the things you like, normally you become very attached to them. If you become very attached to the service, that can also be dangerous. Why? Not the service, but the results of the service. I do service for Krishna, I expect adoration, I expect fame. Oh, I expect that the program must run very nicely. Why should the program run nicely? If Krishna did not run, why not? We had boat festival for 2 years. Both years we were cracking our heads whether the boat will float, whether the boat will float, boat will float. All the tests revealed the boat will float. On the day of the festival, the boat started sinking. And devotees became morose. Why to be morose? We have tried what we can. Now it's up to Krishna to sink the boat or to keep it afloat. This year they're going to do a submarine. This year it's over. Put their lordships underwater. But this is the point. Is that okay, really? Thank you. That's why I miss Sri Ram Gopal Prabhu. Transcendental humor. Just stay in Singapore, really. Don't go anywhere. Anything else for this? Yes, sir. To add on, yes, yes.
One time I asked, in the tenth chapter of the first canto, there is a statement, actually the plan and the plan maker will be annihilated at the end.
Very nice. The plan and the plan maker annihilated.
At the end. So I asked Gurudev, so is this necessary that we need to make the plan in the first place? Then Gurudev said, it is most important to make the plan,
yes.
But the plan should be based upon the Shastra injection.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it should be based on the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam.
Yes.
And if the result is up to Krishna.
Yes.
If it is successful, it's okay. If it is not successful, we should be more happy.
Mm-hmm.
That is something is happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, first thing is, make the plan.
Yes.
Should be based upon the injections of Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
And then I thought, 90% or 100% of the problem itself is based on Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. Very true. Very true. This is nice point. Very nice point. I've been working with Guru Maharaj for the last 4 or 5 months on temple construction. But one thing I realized, every time I ask Maharaj for a plan, he says, I don't have a plan. You know? And it makes me go crazy, because in Singapore I'm so used to doing things systematically. But I think that, you know, I should be systematic there. In one day, Guru Maharaj can change his mind 4 times on the same topic, you know, of construction. You know, on one moment we can order this amount of cement, next moment that amount of cement, and next moment another amount of cement. And after a while, my mind is resisting, you know. But then after a while, I sat down with Guru Maharaj and I thought, why, you know, shouldn't we have a structured 1 year plan, 2 year plan? Maharaj said, rascal, you don't even know if you're going to live tomorrow. And you're talking about 1 year plan and 2 year plans and this and that, expansionist plans, you know. Just move with Krishna. you keep quiet when I tell you 100 bags of cement you just order. If I tell you change the order, you don't ask, you just do it. Then I became very peaceful. Now people ask me, what's the plan? I said, absolutely no idea. Just move. Krishna says, go, go, just move, you know. And we become peaceful. We become very, very peaceful. We have to balance, you know. We have to balance. As devotees, you all have future, you have careers, you plan. Plan all you want. As Prabhuji rightly said, plan. But always we remember, Krishna willing on one side, bracket, Krishna did not want. Anything else, Matajis? Yes, Mataji. Please, please, we'll end with this, yes.
It happened to last Saturday also.
Oh.
What's the plan, what's the future plan?
Yes.
But in my life, I've always thought that, like, if we think that, like, Krishna is holding us, like, this in this hand.
Yes.
So he can do everything, like, planning everything. The less we use our mind, the better it is in our life.
Yes.
The more we use our mind, the more problems.
You're right, Mataji. Yes. When we say we shouldn't have any plan, it means that ultimately we must remember Krishna will plan our life if we dedicate it to Him. He will plan our lives. He will plan. Chandrasekhar Prabhu planned his life to dedicate it now to Krishna. That was a plan that Krishna said, definitely I will. And that is why today he is here. And with his dedication, he will go around the world to preach Krishna consciousness. See, there will never be obstacle to genuine devotional service. Never. In all my years of seeing the exalted devotees like Prabhu and others, I have never seen a genuine devotee having his plan for Krishna in proper sincere devotional service ever smashed. Never. Never. And never in the history of Bhagavatam has a devotee who planned to pray and glorify Krishna been put down. Never. It is, even in your dream, that word will not appear. Never. 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 The only reason why our plans don't work is because we are not genuine. That's all. If we are really genuine, Krishna will work it through. And when we understand that, we should become humble and say, Krishna, please make me genuine. I have no capacity, but I must try, but you show me the way. Through Guru, through the devotees. Thank you, Mataji. That's a very nice point. So we end here. Srila Mataji, Ravi Prabhu, thank you again. You have been most wonderful. The atmosphere in house is so nice. It is so conducive to hear Bhagavatam, you know. Very, very conducive. Why? Because deities are here. And because nice Sadhu Sangha is here. So please, take nice association from devotees. After the Bhagavatam class finishes and you are having prasadam, please don't discuss about the weather and please don't ask each other about anything else. Try, if you can, even though initially it is artificial, try to speak about Krishna or try to plan something for Krishna. Initially, we all say, Prabhu, I feel like a hypocrite, you know. But the real hypocrisy is not in speaking about Krishna. That is real hypocrisy. We become so conditioned that when a devotee seriously comes up to you, Prabhuji, I read this verse, you in your heart, trying to be smart, right? Trying to be very good, right? You know, this criticism is terrible. And then we cry, oh why, you know, 10 years as devotee, no taste, why Krishna has ignored me? All these questions come up. It is not good. So let's try and sing 5-10 minutes for Krishna. If Krishna wants my voice to work, Krishna doesn't want, then I have to stop. Jai Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Shri Gurudev ki, Jai Gaura Premane, Ananta Koti Vaishnava ki. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.